What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Coach Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and welcome to The God Show. And today we have the African skincare trailblazer, Valerie Obazi. I got it right, Aisha. I don't want to hear nothing. Like, Aisha looking at me. I got it right. She's looking at me like, So we have from luxury, from R&R Skincare.
Yes.
Let's give it up for Valerie, guys. I know I made a little thing about her name, but it was behind. Well, before we was talking, we was kind of like, Ray, don't mess it up.
No,
how you doing?
Okay. I'm good, Ray.
So, welcome to the United States.
Thank you very
much.
Do
you live here?
I do not. I live in Ghana.
How do you feel about the United, like, how do you feel coming over here? I just would love to get your thoughts on, like, living in Ghana and the U.S., like, what do you notice or some things you notice over here?
Wow. I mean, you know, the U.S. is a huge place. I've been here. I've been to many different states. I think the first time I came here, I was maybe a teenager or whatever. So I have family that live out here. So it's not unfamiliar to me. But you know what is different is the vibe in Atlanta. So anywhere else I've ever been, the Atlanta vibe is different.
What's different about it? I want to hear this.
I like to see like the camaraderie, like the everyone that I've met since I've come to Atlanta. The first time I came was in June, which was what, like 3-4 months ago.
Okay.
Everyone I met is like, how can we help you?
Yes.
How can we build up your brand? What can we do to support you?
Yeah.
And I've never seen that anywhere else, not even in Ghana.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Kudos to Atlanta, but I'm not going to lie, you are with the right people.
Yes, I think I know that.
And that's very important that if you get introduced through the right people that, I was just telling somebody that, somebody was asking me for some advice. I'm like, the most important thing is who introduces you.
Yeah.
Because if you get introduced to the right people, you're going to get treated right. If you get introduced to someone, you're going to have to get over that, then get treated right.
Yeah.
So you have the luxury skincare brand.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you start it?
So I started the brand 14 years ago.
Okay.
I just had a newborn baby. You can probably tell from my accent that I lived in London. I was born in London, raised in London, and I left London when I was 29, just got married. My husband, Nigerian, but he was the same as me, born and raised in the UK, but he moved back to work with his dad. And so when we got married, I moved over there. So I just had a newborn baby and I wanted to use something natural on her skin. And I was like, why am I importing products from the UK,
UK,
and Europe, or wherever else, when we have amazing ingredients right where we are. The problem was that no one had put them into a finished product that made it easy to use. So shea butter has been around forever, right?
Yes.
I didn't create it. We didn't invent it. It's been my grandmother used it on me when I was a baby. Her mother probably used it on her. You know, our ancestors have been using it for a long time and it's a very, very good ingredient.
Yeah.
All the big companies use it in their formulations, maybe just in a small amount, but it goes a long way, right? But I wanted to create something that was missing because I realized that no African brands were creating skincare lines using our African ingredients. So that's kind of how it started, from a need and then noticing that, okay, why can't I go into the store and buy it off the shelf and it'd be a nice products that smells good as well as being good, you know?
So you immediately went into it with filling the gap in the market. It wasn't like you felt like, I need this for me, and then it was great, and then you were like, well, maybe I should start selling it. You were thinking business from the moment.
Kind of. Both things, really. I needed it for me. I needed it for my baby. And I was like, I come from a branding background.
Yeah.
I come from a PR communications background. So before I moved to Nigeria, I had my own PR agency. So I worked with beauty brands, fashion brands, and I just realized that the gap was there. So, hey, this product is good enough for my baby, then yeah. it's good enough for everybody else. And I thought, being a natural product, that we'll probably be exporting it mostly to the Western world, who are into like natural skincare and organic skincare. I thought Africans already know about Shea, so they're not going to buy into it. But 14 years of selling to the African market, and I didn't have time to expand to the rest of the world because everybody picked up on it and they were like, wow, we can do this with our products. And it's created a whole industry. And I'm not saying I'm the first, but definitely one of the early.
This audience adopters. Doesn't find problems with people.
Sorry?
This audience doesn't find problems with people. Like, that, like that's not what we do here. We're like, well, you the first. It's like, for me, it's we look for the why and the motivation and the thought process behind it. That's why I was like, you know, like you were thinking like an entrepreneur. Were you looking for something to leverage your PR background? Was that also kind of part of it?
Yeah, in a way. I was using my PR experience to create something. And you know, with PR, it's very service industry. So you work with your clients and you're on call to them. And I wanted to create something that was like a legacy business.
Yeah.
So when I die, so it will pass on, it will outlive me. Got whether you. It's my children that run it or whether it's complete strangers, I wanted something that would outlive me and be a good representation of something from the continent.
So is also for your name, right?
R&R?
R&R
stands for my daughter's initial. So the baby whose skin I needed to take care of, her name is Rebecca Rose. And she's named after my mom and my mother-in-law.
So R&R.
Yeah, my mom's Rebecca and my mother-in-law is Rose. And we put their names together to create her name. And we use that name to create the business name. And R&R also stands for rest and relaxation.
That's why I was asking. I was like,
rest and recuperation. So it kind of has a double meaning.
Yeah.
And so that's what the name stands for. I think I'm even wearing the logo. My friend, he's a jeweler in London. He's a black Ghanaian jeweler in London. He made this for me as a gift. So
I love it.
Shout out to him. So far, yeah.
So when you were starting the business, was it like you got it out the mud? Was it like you raised money? Like, what was your, how did you, cause like now, of course, the popular thing to do is to be a black female entrepreneur. Right. It's like the thing, we love it now, but like, 14 years ago, it wasn't something that was loved. You kind of, it was kind of like, what? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how did you start the business? Like, what was the challenges that was in front of you?
For us, definitely straight out the mud. You know, what we did was start small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have any investment or funding at the start. So it was literally our own money, our own savings. I just had a baby. So I was kind of on a bit of a work break anyway.
Gotcha.
I had the support of my husband. So, you know, I'm very fortunate to have had that, you know, moral support and financial support. But we started it on very little money, very, very little money. And I just bought the raw materials in small quantities, ordered some packaging online.
Did you sell out the trunk? Did you take it directly to
stores?
I'll
tell you what I did. Okay. I gave it to friends and family and I was like, if you like it, come back and buy it. So I just gave it to our circle of people and said, hey, this is what we're using. Tell me what you think. I'm thinking of creating a brand. If you like it, next time come back and buy it. So in Lagos at the time, we didn't have like Amazon. We didn't have, there were supermarkets, like grocery stores, but nothing, no real distribution channel. So we had to find ways to kind of distribute direct to people. So people just order on the phone from us and we'd sell it to them. Then a small beauty store opened up in near to where we live. So we started selling through
them.
And
this is in Lagos?
This is in Lagos.
Okay, gotcha.
So I was actually living in Lagos at the time. I am Ghanaian, but I was living in Lagos. And the spirit, the entrepreneurial spirit in Lagos is crazy.
I was just about to say, I want you to, after you've done this, to dive into like the entrepreneurial spirit of Africa. I've never been before because I have a really close family that's African. The Abafemi, Shaka Zulu, and Jeff, and they never invited me.
Oh,
but
how
I'm putting the pressure
them.
On them to invite me. I'm gonna go with them now. Ludacris shot a video, Africa. I was like, can I just go one time? So so even for me as a black entrepreneur in the United States, like I'm just curious myself, like, what's the scene look like in Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, Lagos specifically, like for entrepreneurs? Like, is it supportive? Like, I'm just curious because I've never been.
It's super supportive. When I moved to Lagos, I was excited because they already had a big film industry, big fashion industry, and also growing music industry as well. So you know what's happening with Afrobeats and everything now. I mean, that's taken over 10 years to really be popular music everywhere, but everywhere I go now I hear Nigerian music in the most fancy stores, department stores. They're all playing Afrobeats. And at that time, so Nigerians are very much into supporting each other. So like I said, when I started the business, I was thinking that I'm not selling it here, I'm selling it abroad. But they were like, wait, we want to see what this is. We want to use it too. Sure. And so we ended up opening a store in Lagos.
Gotcha.
So because people wanted to buy it, and we were just like, you know what?
So like a store with your name on it, R&R. Okay.
R&R, all your products. Standalone store. Nice. Yeah. It was only a small little thing, but we opened it 2013.
Okay.
It's still open today.
Wow.
It's still open today. And I think, yeah, there were so many opportunities. People are very, they have a, there's a huge hustle spirit in Lagos.
Yeah.
Big time. And Accra has caught up. Mm-hmm. And I think Nigeria, because of the sheer size and the things that come out of there, they create inspiration for a lot of different countries, not just in Africa, around the world. So I think Ghana, following on in Ghana, we moved our headquarters to Ghana because I'm Ghanaian and a lot of our raw materials are from Ghana. Mm. By then we'd already laid the groundwork, so it was very like welcoming moving it over there.
So a lot of people don't know, like, if you could just tell them, like, Lagos, Nigeria has about 300 million people.
Yeah,
like that's not no. Like the U.S. has what, 400, 350?
Yeah, exactly. And, so Nigeria.
And how big is Nigeria?
Like landmass? Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you, but it's densely populated in Lagos alone.
Gotcha.
So Lagos, the population of Lagos is like the population of the entire country of Ghana.
Yes.
So, you know.
That's what I was kind of get at. Yeah, like Ghana's probably a smaller country with smaller people.
Like more slower paced lifestyle, whereas Lagos is the hustle is real, and there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of people trying to, from the minute you step off the plane, someone's trying to sell you something.
It's like a Black America, right? Yeah. It's like they hustle over
there. They hustle hard. No matter what they're doing, they put their everything into it.
And how do they feel about Black female entrepreneurs like yourself? Like, how are you received in both countries?
Both countries are very supportive. Mm. Very, very supportive. I'm so like humbled and pleased to have had support from my people, and to the point where they kept me so busy that I haven't been able to expand to the rest of the world until now.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Let's clap for expansion. I love that. So the idea is, the plan is to blitz America.
Yeah, you can put it like that. I think that...
We blitzing. That's a blitz right there. That's,
yeah.
Aisha made sure that was set up properly. No one can do that. By the way,
really?
Let me tell you something funny. When they came in, like somebody came there, was like, they're removing this stuff from the shelf. I said, who? Aisha, I said, she can do whatever she wants. Don't she's family. Like, you can't say that's fair, because I will come in their stuff and do whatever I want too. Like I'll crash Aisha. Mean, I don't care what she's doing. What you doing, Shawty? Like, so it's family. So that's another thing. But this is a blitz coming. This is not. We just trying to. This feels like real packaging.
Well, it definitely feels like a blitz. I don't know what day of the week I got here. I think it was Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm lost. But every day since I've landed, we've had back-to-back activations and pop-ups and events. So from Fiscani showroom doing a conversation and pop-up in there, to the next day doing Atlanta Fashion Week for 2 days, then Bloomingdale's for the next 2 days, and today I'm leaving. So I'm here talking to you. So it's been a blitz.
So we want to make sure this is successful though. So I'm asking you, so how does the America takeover happen? Like, is it an online thing? Are you planning to open in stores? Like, what does that look like?
It's definitely direct to consumer on our online channel. Mm-hmm. So definitely we'll be looking at 2025 at some retail partnerships, but for now it's very strategically online so that people can get the product directly from us, knowing that where it's come from, and our full range is available here, and we're shipping out of Atlanta. So you don't have to pay like $50.
I already love it.
$50 from Accra to get, you know, a $20 product. We're going to be shipping out of here, so you can get that product.
So it's ASAP. Obviously doing very well. What makes it unique? Like, speaking strictly of the product, like it was made with love, of course. That's an advantage. But like, what does making with love look like for you?
Okay, I'll tell you what making with love looks like for me. It's not that it's necessarily handmade in my kitchen, because we've gone past that stage. The love for me is the love for my continent.
Yes.
I grew up in the UK, but as a diasporan, but I was always going back and forth to Ghana. My grandma, a lot of my family was there, so my mom was always taking me back. And so I very much love where I come from. I identify as Ghanaian, even though I was born in the UK, I'm fully Ghanaian.
For sure.
And going back to the continent to live there as an adult, a professional adult, I realized that we were still very far behind on a lot of things. And that's not our fault. You know, you have 50, 60 years of independence, we have a long way to go. But what am I going to do my part to change the future of Africa? And so by creating a product that's from the continent, so it's unique in that sense, because the ingredient is the from ingredients the continent. Is from, and yeah. everybody who produces outside talks about the ingredient from the continent, but what are they doing to truly change the fortunes of the continent? They're taking the raw material and producing it in another country, which leaves very little value to the economy. But if you add value at the source, you're changing the dynamics of the economy.
So you're making this in Africa also.
Everything is made in Ghana. Yeah. In fact, we own our whole value chain. So from where you pick the nuts from the ground, because shea grows in the wild, you pick the nuts from the ground. We have our own processing center where they process into the shea butter and our black soap, which is also a traditional cleansing method. We produce everything to the shop shelf. Gotcha. So to the final bottle, everything you see is made in Ghana.
Gotcha.
So it's not, we're not taking the value out. The value stays there, and we're employing so many people.
Gotcha.
So apart from the women that we work with in the north who work as cooperatives, they run their own businesses, but we buy the product from them. But we give them the raw material. We give them the facility to produce, and then we buy the products at the end of the day so that they're independent.
Gotcha.
They're not tied to our payroll. And then, of course, we do have a payroll of a team of people that work in our shops. We have 3 stores now, 2 in Ghana, 1 in Nigeria. We have a factory that produces the finished product. So we have a group of people that work in the factory. We have our HQ, so marketing, admin, HR, accounting. You know, we are creating jobs.
How many jobs do you think this business has created? Like, if you had to guess.
Well, our everyday payroll, we have about 35 full-time employees.
Gotcha.
And then with the women that we work with, that runs into the hundreds.
Yeah, so probably hundreds of lives are affected.
Hundreds.
This is the God Show, right? And the God Show, God's is an acronym for goats and underdogs. And
okay.
on this show, what we like to do, we like to talk to the dreamer, right? Because you're by yourself, you have a dream, mm-hmm. and you feel alone in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, man, like if I just had what that person has, I can win, right? So I'm only asking you this to say that our audience cares. Like, can you give us like how the business grew over the year? Like maybe year one, you know, you guys might have grossed X, but like I like to get into the story of like what makes you a superhero.
Right.
It's like, because, you know, a lot of the times people want to talk about like the product. To me, I feel like I'm talking to the product.
Mm.
Right. I don't have to talk about it when you open your mouth, because when you open your mouth, you can feel the care. That's why I said it was made with love. I can already tell.
Yeah.
But like, how did you grow the company from year to year to year?
It's been slow and steady.
Okay.
I think if you look at normal businesses, maybe that what they would say is like 14 years old,
mm-hmm.
they're running into the maybe hundreds of millions
mm-hmm.
at this point. But for us, because we were starting an industry from scratch,
yes,
it didn't exist. There was
for
no
sure.
contract manufacturers that were making our products for us. We were not sending them the raw material, like, hey, whip up a formulation for us and bottle it, and then we can sell it. We had to build everything that we needed. So we had to build our factories. We had to build our audience. We had to build our products ourselves. And then we had to source everything ourselves. So it's taken a long
time. And that's why I want to focus on it.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, Aisha and Dora know my sister's an entrepreneur that I've been supporting. But, you know, a lot of people, you're 14 years in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people open up a business and they be 14 days in and be like, man, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, and running a business is a slow and steady wins the race. And to me, I don't think we focus enough on like the slow and steady part, because obviously this is like a moment to talk about the big stuff, but I'm like, that's great. But like, how did you grow it? Like, what was the thought process? Like, like, was that your packaging? Like, how did you like grow it? Like from like, cause this doesn't feel like a rookie shop packaging. It's intentional. You can tell that this feels like a $1 billion brand already. Like,
thank
it looks like that. No,
I
you're welcome.
It.
You're welcome
I
for sure.
It.
For sure. But like, I like for people to understand, like, cause there's always say support my business. Nah, support the journey that the business is on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a growing business. But like, just was wondering, like, you know, how did it work? Like,
I feel like you've said everything, because where we're growing the brand over the years, you're learning as you go.
Yeah.
So our packaging didn't just turn up like this.
For
we
sure.
just rebranded in June.
Mm.
So we had different packaging before, but because I've had experience in the market, I see what goes wrong, what works, I take on board feedback, and slowly we make the changes. And of course, it's expensive to make changes. If you're
because you already got product out,
you've got product out, you've got packaging, you've got everything, and
you
say, okay, I'm going to rebrand. I'm just going to take, you know, the risk and do a full rebrand. We changed our logo, we changed all of our packaging. So I had to hire someone, first of all, to come up with the new look and the new feel, but I had to be clear on what I wanted.
Yes.
You know, what is my goal with this? You mentioned the why. earlier on. The why has to be strong.
Yes.
It has to be super strong.
Because that's the only thing that motivates you.
Yeah, otherwise 14 days in, you will be like, what the hell is this?
Boom.
Or 14 months in, you're like, why am I not seeing the success that this girl on Instagram's seeing? Because I'm doing the same thing, but what is your why? You don't know the reason that she's doing what she's doing and the hustle that she's putting behind the Instagram pictures. So for me, you have to understand that it's a long journey, and it's a journey. You know, we define success in so many different ways, but you can't just succeed off the back of nothing.
That's what I'm saying. And the word journey has to be emphasized because the journey is learning.
Yeah,
it's the journey is like making mistakes and. Mm-hmm. You know, like, but I still need y'all here, though. Like, I need y'all to stay with me. You know, don't leave me on the journey. But I am on a journey. And until I get to the place. So what is your ultimate dream for? Like, if you could paint the perfect world where in 3 years, 2 years, where do you see? What would you like to see the brand be?
I want R&R Skincare to be a household name.
Okay.
So as popular as your, you know, the big pharmaceutical brands that we've been shopping
Johnson
our whole
Johnson
lives.
And all those things.
Yeah, I don't want to mention their names, but you know, everyone knows who they usually shop with. And just know that, they've created products that have kept us going, but by buying into our products, you know where it's coming from, you know the source, you know the reason behind the brand, and you know that you're dealing with good quality products. And so whatever dollar you spend on it is worth it. And it's changing, not just my life, because who cares, but it's changing the economy of Ghana. It's impacting Africa, and I think people care about that.
We
now
do. No, we
people
really
do care about that, and so many people want to move back or have citizenship on the continent, and you realize when they go, they see so many gaps because of what they're used to having over here.
Yeah.
So there's so many opportunities to create business, to create different revenue streams, but bringing what you already are used to, because hey, we want to have all the good stuff too, right? Yeah. So it takes time, and you have to know the reason why you're doing that. And of course, if you get investment capital along the way with the right partners, again, like you said, being introduced by the right people makes all the difference. And
the
I could get money from anywhere, but can I announce it, Aisha? Yes. That we've just taken on our first round of investment from the Fearless Fund. So from Ariane Simone.
Ariane Simone, shout out to Ariane. Yeah.
And I don't think we could have a better strategic partner than her, because she's on the ground. She knows, she's a woman. She's experienced probably some of the things that we've been through, and she's focusing on investment in Black and brown women. So that to me is the dream when it comes to investment strategy and partners.
So when someone takes an investment, what's the point of that, right? You know, obviously, you know, our community is really just getting into this conversation about like venture capitalists. Even Irene Simone, like when she was doing the superhero work, she still had to get hated on and had to go through a trial because what she was really fighting for was the thing that you have to be Black to understand, right? It's, you have to live our life to understand how we see the opportunities and how they come and everything of that nature. But when someone is raising money, what's the point of that, right? Like, it's like, because it's like the products look good to me. Like, so it's like, what else do you need? You know what I mean? I'm just curious, like, you know, for the people that's listening.
It gives you the opportunity to grow your business, to scale. So if you don't know what scale means, it means take what you already have and grow it times 1,000, 10,000, or 1 million.
Yes.
If you don't have the money in your bank to do that, then you're just going to stay in the same place and you're going to lose out on opportunities. So if you have funding, you're able to take on big orders and fulfill them. Because maybe if you're just working
bootstrapping, it's a lot of consignment.
Yeah, there is consignment. Well, not necessarily consignment, but payment terms at 30 days, 60 days. So you've put in $1 million worth of product and you have to wait 60 days to get paid.
Net 60. You got to say the net, because you know, people that don't understand what that means, that just means, doesn't that mean like every 60 days
after business they days? Receive 60 business days after they've received your product is when you're going to get paid for the product they received. But in between that time, they might put in another purchase order and you've got to fulfill that. So you need to be ready. So it's really a case of opportunity, preparation meets opportunity.
Yes.
So, you know, you're prepared, you get everything ready so that when the right opportunity comes along, you.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention, which is why when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Can take it, because if it's too early, that can kill your business.
Yeah, for sure.
So we all say we want to be in the big stores, but if they come and give you a PO for $1 million, are you ready to fulfill? That's what you need investment
for. Yeah, so then now you have to have, like if it's a mom and pop operation and you got to ramp up how it's produced, which means that you either got to hire more people to produce more or hire a factory to produce it perfectly for you.
Exactly.
Right?
And then you've got to buy, it means buy more raw material, buy more components, more packaging, have more people doing the production. And of course, funding also helps you market the brand. So, you know, we've got a great team here, which without the funding, it might have been a struggle to be able to get them to, you know, work on the brand without having the right partnerships.
For sure.
Maybe you just be pushing by yourself for a long time, which is what we're doing. And thank God I had a marketing background and PR background. We're able to support that side of things. But there's a point where you can't do everything, right?
Exactly.
So you need a team, and the team in Ghana is growing, and our team globally is growing as well. And that's where the funding comes in. So, you know, we didn't take it too early. This is our first round of funding. And
nice. So in the 14 years that you've been operating, you've just been bootstrapping as a family business.
Yeah.
Is that hard?
It's hard.
What's the hardest parts, challenges of that?
Not having any money for yourself. That's the hard part.
I'm asking because I'm on the inside of helping a company.
Yeah.
And it's just always like, well, where does the money go? Like, what are we doing?
Right. And that's the thing. You know, people think that, okay, you might come from a privileged background or whatever, but there's only so many times you're going to give your sister money, right?
Yeah.
You're going to want to see the growth, and it's because you believe in her and you see something in her, and you know that she's capable of building something, that you're going to invest in her in the first place. You're not going to invest blindly.
Yeah.
So the hardest part of not having that funding is growing things slowly. It's painfully slow. So you're waiting for sales to come in to be able to grow. So we have been the beneficiary of a loan before, which we have paid off. But that helped.
What did you say? A loan. Sorry. Oh, a loan. Okay, I'm sorry.
A bank loan. So we use that to kind of build our facilities, build our infrastructure, so that when the time is right, we have everything in place to produce more product. So that was our first kind of external funding. But otherwise, it's full.
Yeah, but that's a bank.
You
pay them back and it's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's that. And they don't get involved in what you do with the money.
They don't help you with the business.
They don't help you with the business. They don't help you with the marketing. They don't help you with the growth. They just want to see their money come back with interest. So, you know, that was an experience in itself, because we invested in infrastructure. We built a physical factory because we didn't have one to produce for us.
Yeah.
But of course, a factory doesn't pay you back in this lifetime, really, a building, you know, unless you sell it.
So do you want to open up a factory eventually?
We do have one.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So our bank loan, that's what it went into.
Oh, got you.
So, you know, that doesn't give you back the money like in sales. You know, if you put the money behind products, it would give you. But infrastructure, until we sell the building, you know, we won't really get the money back. So it's making the right decisions and moving slowly and working with the right people as well.
So if I wanted to get the product right now, I got to go to a website.
Yeah.
What's the website?
It's rndrskincare.co. So R-A-N-D-R skincare.co.
Okay. And then tell me about it, right? Like I see you have Shea soap, black soap. Like, is it for only black people? I know that's not the case, but I'm only asking that because when we hear certain words like black soap, shea butter, it's like, oh, that's not for everyone. No, it is. That's what
it
I'm asking.
It is. It really is. It's a completely inclusive brand for men and women, and whatever your skin type is, whatever your skin color is, you can use these products. So we're making it for everybody, and shea is good for all skins, unless you have an allergic reaction. And I've only met maybe in 14 years, two people that say they're allergic to shea. And it's one of those products that's made from an ingredient that's so rich that a big company can put like 1% shea in their moisturizer and it has a good effect.
It changes the
formulation, but we give it to you in its full capacity because why not, you know?
Got you.
And we just elevate it with essential oils. So it's a nice fragrance and you enjoy using the product. So we have our moisturizers, which are the butters, the lotions, the oils, and then we have our cleansers, which are the black soaps, the shea soap. So black soap is a traditional cleansing formulation, which also outlives me.
Yes.
It started way before I was even born. And it's made from, it's the only soap that you can have that doesn't have a particular chemical in it called sodium hydroxide. Even though normal soap, you put the sodium hydroxide in, by the time it's cured, it's gone. But we don't even have to put sodium hydroxide into the product. So all 100% natural ingredients. It can be scary because it's like brown in color. Real black soap is not black, it's brown.
Yeah.
And people might be like, oh, what's this? I can't put this on my skin. But it's a fantastic cleanser and it doesn't leave stains.
Mm.
And we enrich ours with shea, so it's moisturizing. So it's one of those things that once you start using it, you'll probably be coming back forever.
You say you started this company with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it running a family business?
It's fine because he leaves me to do this stuff.
Oh, see?
Yeah, yeah. He has his own business.
There's a secret.
Yeah.
He stays out of it. I'm like, how do you run a family business? Like, it's so hard. Like,
yeah. It's fine because he leaves me to do everything. He's in the background. He's supportive. I run a lot of things.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Danks, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniel Tsai. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Things by him, no decision I make is without his approval. No big decision anyway.
For sure.
But day to day, he leaves me
so
to it.
As it grows, he's not like, you're not like worried about him saying, man, I'm coming over there. I can't wait till it gets to a certain point. I can come over there every day. You're like, no.
No, God, no. He's busy. He's so busy doing his own thing that he's not trying to be in my face every day. But he is 100% behind it. He's very much involved. And a lot of decisions I make with him. And what's mine is his. What's his is mine anyway. So yeah, we've been married for 15 years.
That's amazing. That's what I was asking. Because I'm like, you start, the business is kind of a baby.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like I had it for 30 years and
yeah,
I met
and
you
then he
15
came along.
Then.
No,
and you,
no,
it's kind of like our baby. That's why I was just wondering from like me being in a relationship. I'm just like, how does that work? Like,
yeah, he's behind the scenes.
Yeah,
and he's not trying to be in front of the scenes either. No.
You don't want to like make the color in a little of this because men are like
Yeah. He does. He does do that. Those are the big decisions I'm talking about. He will say, don't do this. Or when you're changing social media, trying not to do this kind of stuff. But he's coming from a perspective of a consumer and will give his advice. And I don't always take it. But, you know, a lot of the time I do.
Give me three names of people who you would like to endorse your product right now.
Oh,
if you can,
gosh.
The U.S.
Eek.
That's easy. That's manifestation. You can just say whoever. I'm just wondering, like, if you can get three faces in America to be the face of the business that you feel like your brand and their brand line up, what would it be?
Well,
who would it
the
be?
First and foremost person who wouldn't necessarily be the face, but if she endorsed it, it would change the business, would be Oprah.
Okay,
of
Oprah.
Course. Oprah. This is putting me on the spot. I can't think
that's
of
a good one,
else.
Though. That's a great one.
Oprah
is a great place to start.
Yeah. Oprah for sure, maybe a Beyonce would be great. And I'm a big reality TV person as well, so
give us a reality
maybe one
TV
of
name.
Our Real Housewives of Atlanta would be good because I love that show.
Do you
and
think
I love all the cast members.
Do you think that Africa will watch a Real Housewives of Ghana?
Yeah,
do
they,
you think that I don't even know
they
if this
would,
happening.
I've been approached to be on it.
Oh, it's
Someone's
a show like that
doing
already.
It. It's not on, but
got
I received
you.
The email. My management received the email about it. I'm not gonna go on it, but
yeah, I'm just wondering. Like, it's like, you know, it's like when you're African American in the United States and you meet like someone from Africa, it's always that thing of like, what do y'all think about us and what we're doing?
Really?
Like how, like, because it's like, we kind of had to create our own because we have no heritage like that. Yeah. So you guys have a different heritage. Yeah. So I was just wondering, like,
well, to be honest, America's always been sold to Africans as being the best thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's because from a young age we're watching American TV shows, The Cosby Show, this, that, and the other. So we're familiar with America, even if you've never been here. You even have some people with American accents.
Stop!
I'm telling you, yeah, you will meet Ghanaians with American twang in there. But, you know, it's globalized. But now, thanks to social media, it's going the other way. So people are getting to see what's happening in Africa, what's happening in the different countries, because Africa is a continent. You're getting to see what we're doing. And I think people are being very intentional about showing that Africa is not just poverty, because we grew up on the news looking at famine. When it comes to Africa, people are talking about famine and lack, but they're not talking about the richness, because it didn't pay to expose that, because all of the richness has been taken out by the Western world and being used to make, you know.
And by the way, we're part of that richness.
Yeah.
Black people. That's why I'm asking you. Like, we're part of that richness. So even when you said America, everything is marketed as everything is better. Well, we weren't the better. We were kind of like the second rate of the better.
Right, of course, yeah.
So when we see y'all, it's like, yo, it's not our fault, but we doing our best. Like, what you think about what we doing over here? Like, what could we be doing
trust
better?
Trust me, everybody, I think some of the dream is for people, they want to move and live in America. They'll do anything. But at the same time, I think it's important to build up what we've got over there.
For sure.
And create our own. So the same thing, like you said, being second rate citizens. We've been second rate citizens of the world for the longest time. So it's for those of us that have been away and experienced the other, it's important for us to bring it back and help to build up our nation, build up our continent, so that people want to come in and enjoy it. So now, look, so many people, since I've been here, almost everyone I've spoken to says they're coming to Ghana in December. And of course,
It's like a big thing in Ghana in December.
Yeah,
right?
It has been because our current president, he introduced the Year of Return in 2017.
Okay.
And it was like inviting African Americans to come back home. And that has changed the tourism trajectory of our country.
Yeah.
And we get millions of visitors from the United States every single year. Mm. And to me, it empowers not just them, because you're getting a rich experience, but also the people on ground, the taxi drivers, the hair braiders, the makeup artists, the food sellers, the street food sellers, they're all making like probably what they'd make in a year in December.
Mm.
So that is a massive initiative, and I think it's worked really, really well. Of course, there are still poor parts. You know, poverty is still a big problem on the continent, but the only way to fix that is through the private sector, not through the government. The government doesn't have the facilities to do those things. So we as the private sector have to create the jobs, and we have to create employment, and we have to change the future of the nation. That's what I'm trying to do.
Gotcha. Oh, I love it. I love it. If you could tell yourself, if you can go back right now, Valerie today, go back to Valerie of 14 years ago, to give her some advice on this business, what would you tell her?
Trust your judgment.
Okay.
Trust yourself. Trust what you believe is the right thing to do, and continue doing the right thing, because integrity is a big deal for me.
Mm.
You know, do what you say you're going to do. And a lot of people hide behind a lot of smokes and mirrors. But for me, I don't fake it in any way. And I just try and build bit by bit. So I would definitely agree with my younger self to have integrity, but also just trust my judgment. Sometimes we feel like a bit of an imposter. Like,
that's what I'm asking, because it's like you have the hindsight now, which is 2020.
Yeah.
So it's like there must have been times where you was in it and someone told you something and you was like, okay, I guess, even though this is what I would do.
Yeah, exactly. Trust my judgment for sure, because I definitely do what feels right to me now, regardless of who's telling me what, because I've been there, I've done the experience. I'm old enough, you know what I mean? To trust that I'm making the right decisions for myself and for the business. So I think that's definitely one of the things I tell my younger self.
So we have this segment of the show that we call Credit Check. At the God Show, we have a problem with flowers. I hate that. Give them their flowers.
Like, oh, okay.
Don't give me my flowers. Yeah. Give me my credit.
Okay.
Like, let me. I can leverage my credit. I can't leverage flowers. You gave me. Because they don't know why you gave me flowers. Like,
right.
Tell me why you give me my credit. So when we take people like yourself and we give them a chance to shout out two or three unsung heroes of the journey.
Hmm.
Who are some people you would like to give credit to?
Well, I have to give credit to my husband. We've spoken about him a little
bit. We don't ever give credit to husbands. We're going to clap for the credit to husbands. We don't ever get that on the show. It's always credit to my wife. It's never to the husband.
Oh, no. Definitely Thank give credit to my husband. He gave me the inspiration to start this business because when I told him about this raw material, he was like, wait, there's so much you could do with this and it's not really... Yeah. The market is fresh here, so... How about we try this thing? And I have to give credit to him for that. And he's supportive. I couldn't do this without him. And I don't mean just financially. I mean emotionally, physically. We have three kids. Mm. And they're like from teenage years to tweens, so preteen. And they're three girls. So they need their mom, you know. But yeah. there's times like this where I'll be away for weeks. And he's holding down the fort. And he's fine with doing that. You
and
know?
This is, and they live in...
Ghana.
Yeah. Now, so everybody's in Ghana now.
Everyone's in Ghana. Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. We're all in
How
Ghana.
Far is the flight from here to Ghana?
There's no direct flight from Atlanta, but from New York, it's about 10 hours.
Okay, that's not
so
bad.
So I'm flying through London.
Because it's West Africa, right?
It's West Africa, yeah. yeah. So it's about 9-10 hours from New York.
Okay. So you got a couple more names you can name. Your husband is one.
My husband is one. My mother, definitely another okay. one. She's super, super supportive of everything
And your mother is,
I do.
Is Rebecca or Rose?
She's Rebecca.
Okay.
She's Rebecca, and she... She's my number one cheerleader, and she also checks me. She's not an entrepreneur, so sometimes she's like,
I don't know.
Do you need to do this?
Yeah.
Do you know, is it worth it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, she still encourages me, and she's helped me a lot along okay. the way. And I think the third unsung heroes have to be my team in general. I don't know if I can mention one person, but everyone wears so many hats because of what we're trying to do, you know? So you might be the accountant, but you're also going to be packing boxes and
yeah.
you're also going to be doing, because they believe in the dream. And
yeah.
thankfully, they understand what we're trying to do. They understand the company culture and they know the potential, not because of what they see out there, because it's hard to see when you're like an innovator, right?
Yeah.
But from what I'm saying to them, I make them believe in what we're trying to achieve and they've all gotten behind it.
I wanted to ask you, when you say company culture, like how did you develop your company culture? Like what is that? Where does those rules come from? How they communicate it? Just curious.
You know what? I read a lot and I listen to a lot of podcasts from people that have experience in CEOs and founders who have built businesses from scratch. So founders, I listen to how they run their businesses, what works for them. I look at the tools that they use, the resources that they use online, and I try and not just emulate, but learn from each of them in a different way and make it my own. And when it comes to building the business, most of my first employees were family.
Yeah.
Did you want to have
That's
what
I was asking.
Trust?
Like, yeah. how do you get, because here it feels like that's a hard problem, right?
Right.
To me, the hard challenge is finding help,
right?
That help that will also follow the rules, that mm-hmm. will also, mm-hmm. you know, especially when it's new, they could look at you like, oh, I know the owner, that's my homegirl. Like, no, I'm not your homegirl.
No.
I'm here as your boss. But I was just wondering, like, how do you get that culture? Like, where did you get it from? Just asking for a friend.
I think basically where I hired family to start off with. So a lot of the heads of my departments are family members.
Got you.
Or people that have helped me out. And then we've grown the team. So we have a bit of a family environment. And I know some people think that that's a toxic thing to say that our business
That's what I'm about to ask you, but still, how
like
do you
a family.
How do you get family to understand that it's business?
Like, I think, again, buying into the dream, I'm very clear on my why and what I'm trying to achieve. And I've been fortunate to have, I know some family members that wouldn't fit into the experience.
Got you.
But I've got some that I know that, okay, hey, you'd be really good at this. Can you lend your talent to this particular part of my business? And like one of my right-hand woman is my cousin.
Mm.
She's been working with me for 7 years now, and she's actually here in Atlanta with
Shout
me.
Shout out to cousin.
Shout out to Gigi. Yeah, people call her cousin. A lot of people call her cousin.
Yeah.
But she's, I don't know what I'd do without her. Mm. And, you know, so many people that come to work with us, I give everybody their credit where it's due. They understand there's lines and there's boundaries, but we definitely try and make people feel at home and let them see the future, and they grow with us. So when
Got
we
you.
Grow, they grow.
But I'm still... I guess I'm, because I have that.
Yeah.
But the hard part is always like, how do you communicate them to see?
Hmm.
Like, so say if your cousin works for you, right? So I have a cousin that works for me. Mm-hmm. I let him run a property that I own.
Yeah.
Man, he be coming, hey, cuz, man, hey, D boy, hey, who? The grab. I'm like, bro, like, sometimes, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, he called me like he would do a cousin. I'm like, bro, like,
no, you just have to draw your boundaries and say, this is not okay. I love you, but you don't need to be doing this. Because a lot of people, maybe they work with me and maybe they'll, I don't text or email out of hours. Yeah. I mean, of course, there are times where we're working overtime or whatever, but if I email Gigi on a Saturday or Sunday, I'm not expecting her to answer me unless it's something really urgent. And I'm going to call her and say, hey, we really need to sort this out. Please respond. But otherwise, I set the boundaries so that I treat you right, so that you also treat me right.
Yeah.
Don't send me things that are going to upset me first thing in the morning. Like, give me a second to relax, settle in before you tell me something that's going to wind me up for the rest of the day. And I think setting clear boundaries is very, very important. And you can't set them in advance because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
But as they happen, you can just nip them in the bud and be like, hey.
Yeah, like immediately.
You know that thing that happened yesterday?
Yeah.
Can we not do that again? Because it makes me uncomfortable. One of the things, you know, sometimes, you know, we get a bit, I personally get a bit of like negative press where I come from. And it's not because of me. It's just because of, you know, the family I was born into. And people have this thing of forwarding messages or forwarding posts from social media or whatever that's come up. And I'm like, don't send me that stuff. You know what I mean? It means
it's not good for my soul.
It doesn't help. It's not good for my soul. It doesn't help me in any way. It doesn't grow me in any way. I don't need to see it.
Yeah.
So please refrain from sending it to me. If you're a member of my team or whatever, if you want to ask me something, come right to me and ask me. But just don't do it.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm not interested in seeing that stuff. And so you have to set boundaries when it comes to family and understanding culture and understanding what works for you, but also what works for them. You have to also afford them the same respect when it comes to their own boundaries too.
So this is The God Show. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at The God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV. GODS is an acronym for goats and underdogs.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself, it's the last question.
Okay.
Do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? If you consider yourself an underdog, what do you have to accomplish for you to say, I feel like I'm a goat now? And you know what that means. And
greatest of all time, right? So can I sit on the fence, because I believe that in some, depends who you're asking.
Yeah.
Some people call us the goat where we're from, and somewhere else in the rest of the world, maybe we're the underdog because, you know, we're still new and people are still getting to learn about us. So, you know, like I said, I want this brand to be a household name. So that will give us GOAT status, right?
So you're saying that you consider yourself an underdog until you get it to household name status?
Yes.
Okay. So is there not a number?
No, I think it would be foolish.
Because how would you know if it's a household status if it's not a number?
That's a good question. Yeah.
But it's like, if they already know it, it's like, they can't know it because we ain't making this number.
Yeah. And I mean, it's impossible to really say like, oh, it needs to be in this many homes.
Yeah.
But you know, when you just get to that point where you mention the brand name and they're like, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I know them, you know, and that we get that a lot where we're from and in Nigeria as well. A lot of people, oh yeah, I know R&R. My kids use it. Oh yeah, I use it. Blah, blah, blah. That happens a lot. But you know, there's still so much of the rest of the world.
So in Africa, you to go.
No, I don't think we're even
everybody
there yet.
Know you're Africa.
Maybe West
goat.
Africa.
West Africa. Hey,
goat-ish.
Yep. Goat-ish.
Goat-ish. But there's it's a journey, like you said. So yeah. I don't think you ever fully reach goat status. So I think it's a complete journey, and we're good being the underdog so long as people can.
Well, just so you know, on this show, when we, you know, we get pitched people all the time, we always ask ourselves, like, what do we think that is? And when they was telling me about it, they was like, she started a company, she built it, da da da, black woman from Ghana, da da da. I'm like, that sounds like some GOAT status shit. We should do The God Show.
Yeah.
We wouldn't let you sit here. We didn't think that you have achieved GOAT status on what you accomplished, right? So we want to just tell you that we celebrate that.
We celebrate you.
And yeah, shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. Shout out to Tote and Carry. Shout out to Two Loss Distribution. I wish you was in the music because I would tell you to go with Two Loss. But and shout out to you guys for watching. Like, share, subscribe. This is The God Show. This is Valley Obezi.
Obazi.
Obazi, see? That's why you got to say the name over and over again. This is Valerie Obazi, and we are out. Let's go.
Thank you.
I tried to keep it right to the time that they needed it. I knew you had to be out of here at a certain time.
Thank you.
So I was like, you know. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.